Match day four served up another action-packed week in the UEFA Champions League. On Tuesday, Celtic pushed Bayern all the way in Glasgow, but in the end it was the German side who showed their strength to reach the last 16.
Javi Martinez, wonderful header, and Bayern restore their lead. He's got a face full of blood for his pains after a clash of heads, but he made it count.
Meanwhile, in the Italian capital, Roma once again scored three against Chelsea, but this time there was no reply.
Perotti, 25 metres out! Whoa, that's a great finish by Diego Perotti! And that surely is going to send Roma top of Group C!
On Wednesday, Tottenham ended Real Madrid's unbeaten run in the group stages of the competition in emphatic fashion.
3-0 Tottenham against Real Madrid. It's a cool, composed finish from Christian Eriksen. And Spurs are making memories that will last a lifetime. The night they took apart the European champions. Tottenham 3, Real Madrid 0.
Whilst in Naples, Manchester City came from behind to qualify for the knockout stages. And history was made by this man.
Is this the moment for Aguero? It is! Sergio Aguero becomes Manchester City's leading goal scorer of all time.
We'll hear from Dele Alli, Sergio Aguero and Pep Guardiola as we analyse all of the group stage action right here on the official UEFA Champions League podcast. Hello, I'm Rob Daly, and there's plenty to talk about after two nights in the UEFA Champions League, with many of the groups now starting to take shape. European football expert Chris Parrott is here. Chris, quick one on the Wednesday action. Lots of drama. Spurs and City will take all the headlines.
Absolutely. The two Premier League clubs, mightily impressive. Spurs at Wembley, you heard there from the commentary. It really was a statement performance. The night they came of age in this competition, beating the holders, Real Madrid, humbling them at Wembley Stadium. And equally, Manchester City, I think, showing their teeth as real contenders away at Napoli. And those two clubs who have sort of risen up through the Premier League over the last 5-10 years, hasn't always been as comfortable in the UEFA Champions League. Maybe, just maybe, 2017-18 is the season for them in Europe.
Well, this podcast is a complete review of the week's action, match day four, and here are all the scores from it as well. Tuesday, Group A, Manchester United 2, Benfica 0, Basel 1, CSKA Moskva 2. In Group B, Celtic 1, Bayern 2. That puts them through to the round of 16. Paris Saint-Germain joined them with a 5-0 win over Anderlecht. Group C, Roma 3, Chelsea 0, Atletico 1, Karabakh 1. And in Group D, Olympiacos 0, Barcelona 0, Sporting 1, Juventus 1. On to Wednesday, Group H, Tottenham 3, Real Madrid 1, Borussia Dortmund 1, Apoel Nicosia 1. Group F, Napoli 2, Manchester City 4, Shakhtar Donetsk 3, Feyenoord 1. Group E, Liverpool 3, Maribor 0, Sevilla 2, Spartak Moskva 1. And in Group G, Besiktas 1, Monaco 1, Porto 3, RB Leipzig 1. Well, let's start our review of Tuesday's action. In Group B, the Scottish champions Celtic took on their German counterparts in Glasgow. Watch for us by Andy Brassel and John Bradley.
And here is the ball forward, and Bayern could find a way through. Gordon's gone from home, and it's in the back of the net from Kingsley Coman, who got away and beat the offside trap. Craig Gordon came, he couldn't beat him, and with three Celtic players back, Coman kept his calm, he kept his cool, and he's fired Bayern Munchen in front. Here's Forrest, again advancing, again running through, and here comes the chance, and Celtic are level! It just broke so kindly, and the finish was by Callum McGregor, the man brought in tonight to fire goals from midfield. Javi Martinez, wonderful header, and Bayern restore their lead. He's got a face full of blood for his pains after a clash of heads, but he made it count.
Well, I think the performance was what was outstanding. Naturally, we're disappointed with the result, especially the way in which we conceded the two goals. But I think you see clear improvement. You know, of a Scottish team playing at this level, against that level of opponent, the confidence that we showed and how we were always in the game. So very proud of the team and how they played, but naturally we're disappointed not to have lost the game.
Brendan Rodgers there after his side were knocked out of the UEFA Champions League at the hands of Bayern. But Chris Parrott, there's been a notable improvement, hasn't there, in Celtic? And that's very good for not just the club, but for Scottish football in general.
Yeah, and I think if you read the Scottish press, it's very much if Brendan Rodgers stays and can keep this collection of players together, then next season perhaps they really can have a tilt at the round of 16, much closer than they were 12 months ago in another, you know, unbelievably difficult group. You've got Bayern and then Paris Saint-Germain, who are, you know, if you had to pick the semi-finalists, many people would have both those clubs in it, quite frankly. But yeah, and from Bayern's point of view, further progress under Jupp Heynckes, who has returned. They had a lot of their big guns out, including Robert Lewandowski. But they went, you know, they went to Celtic's cup final and they did come out on top. And that is a champion club. We know that from Bayern, but big result for them as well to be through after only four games.
Javi Martinez, by the way, we heard it in John's commentary there that he got a blooded eye by making that excellent header. He said afterwards, "I'll happily take a cut every game if it means I can score a goal." Back in midfield and happy with that, Martinez. Paris Saint-Germain with a 5-0 win the other game in the group. Kashawa's hat-trick at the left-back. The outstanding talking point from that one, as Andy Brassel was telling us the other night, he was a striker growing up. And now, Chris, Celtic go to Paris Saint-Germain next. Bayern go to Anderlecht. It's about winning the group now, isn't it, for those top two teams already through?
It is, absolutely. But the only thing is the way that the UEFA Champions League is now, it's not so crucial because, as we'll get onto in a moment, Real Madrid might be finishing second in their group.
Exactly, yeah.
So, I mean, for your own confidence, it's good. For who you might play in the last 16, not as important. And there's also a fascinating battle now between Celtic and Anderlecht for that third place. And realistically, I think, coming into this one, both those teams would have targeted that third spot. So we'll see who can get it. But Paris Saint-Germain, look, four games, Rob. They've scored 17. Brilliant. They've conceded no goals. And that is just as impressive.
Yeah. Okay. The fixtures we've mentioned. Wednesday, the 22nd of November, those sides meet. And a chance for Celtic, 3 points above Anderlecht. They face them at home on match day 6. Could be decisive for UEFA Europa League football. Also on Tuesday, Chelsea travelled to the Italian capital to take on Roma in Group C. Remember, it was 3-3 when they last met. This was Watch for Us by Mike Sewell.
Now it's forward towards Edin Dzeko. Might fall on the edge of the area. What a finish! What a fantastic finish by Stefan El Shaarawy. 38 seconds in, and Roma take the lead. What a blistering start. Oh, Chelsea leave it. It's pushed through. It's 2-0. And guess who scored again? Stefan El Shaarawy. There'll be an inquest in the Chelsea defence because nobody took responsibility. And so Stefan El Shaarawy said, "Well, I'll have it. Thank you very much." Perotti, 25 metres out. Whoa, that's a great finish by Diego Perotti. And that surely is going to send Roma top of Group C.
We played, I think, a fantastic game. We fight till the end for 90 minutes. All the players, even the guys who were on the bench for the whole week, we were working for this game. And if you get a result like this, it's really good for the club, for the supporters, for the players, for everybody.
A notable result. Kevin Strootman there, Roma midfielder, speaking after their 3-0 win against Chelsea. What a result for Roma. It moves them top of their section. And as the Times headline in England said, Conte's Roman ruins. Chelsea, what happened to them here, Chris? It was first half they rallied, but second half a bizarre collapse.
They defended most unlike an Antonio Conte team. They missed N'Golo Kante, who I think if you were picking a World 11, actually a team, you'd probably have him as your defensive midfielder. Missed him badly. Rudiger had a night to forget, really, on his return.
Yeah.
Cesar Azpilicueta made a bit of an error. Things not quite going right for Chelsea at the moment. As we'll get on to a moment, that results elsewhere probably mean that they're still very much favourites to go through, but there are question marks. They don't look as solid at the back. And I just wonder as well if that was a night when someone like Diego Costa, who isn't at Chelsea anymore, might just have, I don't know, nastiness is the wrong word, but they needed a presence on the pitch, someone to really lead. Without Costa, without John Terry, of course, who's no longer there, they didn't have it. But Roma were fantastic. We'll talk a lot in this podcast about standout performances and about teams really improving. Well, that for Roma is a big one, beating the English champions comfortably at home.
Talking about grit there, Terry, I'm thinking Terry's centre-back, Kante maybe in midfield, and then Costa up front. Chelsea beaten 3-0 by Roma. Good news for Chelsea, though, that Atletico dropped points again. Carabag drawing with them, Partey with the equaliser after they fell behind. Both sides finished with 10 men. Atletico had 35 shots in total. A team involved in another group has done something similar to Carabag here. But Carabag's still in the hunt for UEFA Europa League football. It's gone wrong for Atletico, who are now well off the pace. As a marker, the Spanish paper said, Chris, they need a miracle.
They do, because 4 points behind Chelsea. Ibrahim Seic in goal was one of those nights which you'll look back for a very long time. But from Carabag's point of view, I thought in this section that they would get a point at least somewhere along the line, and whoever that was against, it would really impact their chances of going through, because you know, when you're drawn with Roma, Chelsea and Atletico, it doesn't get much tougher. But yeah, Carabag, they're 1 point behind Atletico. You know, they'll fancy their chances of picking up something when Chelsea come to Baku, given how they played against Roma. Still very much alive for them and for Atletico. Well, we've seen so many wonderful performances from Diego Simeone's side, but this season they haven't quite had it.
Okay, win for Roma, a draw for Atletico at Carabag. This is how the group looks at the moment. Roma 8 points, Chelsea 7, Atletico 3, Carabag 2. Chelsea go to Carabag on match day 5. Atletico will host Roma next. Could be decisive in that section. Manchester United 2, Benfica 0 was the scoreline in Group A. And the win leaves United on the brink of qualification for the last 16. Something they're determined to do in style, according to Jose Mourinho.
We need still to get results, and we are going to try. We are going to try to win next two matches and finish with 18 points. I think would be nice. The last time Manchester United was in the Champions League, finished third and went out of the Champions League. So the year we return would be nice to do 18 points. So we are going to try.
Chris, you were at Old Trafford on Tuesday night for this victory, commentating on the game. A lot's been made of United's style. What did you actually think to the manner of the performance? Some of the press, including The Guardian, said it was a bit patchy and disjointed from United.
Probably fair. It's why you bring Jose Mourinho to your club, though. Even when you might not be playing at your fluid best, he knows how to win games. And they don't concede. They've won 7 out of 7 at Old Trafford this season. They've conceded one goal. And they look fabulous at the back with David De Gea again, inspirational. And then going forward, when you have Martial and Rashford, who seem to interchange, you know that they're always going to be a danger. Poor old Benfica. But from United's point of view, didn't go through, which everyone was hoping. But actually, it turned out to be probably an even better night, because Basel dropped points elsewhere. So they pretty much wrapped up top spot. And this is important for United because, Rob, around match day 6, they play Arsenal. Then they have their Champions League game against CSKA Moscow, and then they play Manchester City. So to have wrapped up top spot by then will mean that they don't have to play all of their big guns.
No, you can rest the whole strongest 11.
And Jose Mourinho is looking that far ahead. So for United, the perfect week.
4 wins from 4. CSKA Moscow came from behind to win at Basel, and that is why both clubs sit on 6 points currently. Benfica are yet to get a single point to their name. Basel host Manchester United next on Wednesday, the 22nd of November. Mathematically not done, but Manchester United basically there into the round of 16. Group D now, Juventus with a 1-1 draw at Sporting. Phil Blacker joins us on the show now. He was commentating on this game between two sides in Lisbon. 1-1 it finished, Phil. It was close in Turin. What have you made of Juventus? They won at Milan at the weekend, and they didn't really look that comfortable. It was a late-ish goal from Higuain.
Yeah, they haven't convinced in the UEFA Champions League this season. I think that the performance at Milan at the weekend, by most people's observations, was one of their best of the season, but they didn't really follow it up in Lisbon. I think Sporting deserve an awful lot of credit for that. Yet again, they really took the game to one of the big sides and just came up a little bit short in terms of getting the victory they needed, which really would have put the qualification issue back very much in the balance in the group. They scored fairly early through Bruno César and defended with real discipline for a long way out, held that lead for about an hour or so, and just came up short. Higuain, with the quality that he's got in front of goal, making the difference on this occasion. Juventus will argue that because of the pressure they were able to apply in the second half, and they were much much improved in the second half. They deserved a draw out of it on a night where, as it turned out, a win and they would have clinched qualification with a couple of games to go. Sporting still have half a chance because of this result, but they were the ones left to reflect what might have been at the end. And Juventus haven't clicked into top gear yet. There has been quite a lot of changes, of course, to the squad that reached the final last year. And I don't think they've necessarily settled down yet, but they're still in a position where they should go through. And by the time the knockout stages come around, they might be more of a cohesive unit again.
Yeah, interesting. They've made those signings, and yet they were back to the same front four that got them to the final, essentially, last season. Lots of praise, by the way, for Cuadrado in the Italian press in the last sort of 24 hours, looking at the papers. They said he, Gazzetta dello Sport said he was the man of the match, making the goal for Higuain. Barcelona with that 0-0 draw at Olympiacos. It was the first time that Barca have failed to score in a group stage game, by the way, for 5 years. Incredible. Barca close to qualifying for the next round. 10 points, Juve 7, Sporting 4, Olympiacos 1. Sporting host Olympiacos next. Juve Barcelona will be a feature match on this very show on Wednesday, the 22nd of November. Okay, still to come, all the analysis and reaction from Wednesday's matches.
European football is more diverse and multicultural than ever. Our competitions and grassroots projects feature players and fans from all backgrounds. And for UEFA, it's important to communicate that football is for all. Respect is a social responsibility initiative launched in 2008. For the last 4 years, this initiative has featured the message "No to racism." UEFA is now evolving and expanding this message in an effort to promote inclusion, diversity, and accessibility across not only ethnicity, but also gender, age, sexual orientation, all abilities, and social backgrounds. The new campaign gives all football lovers in Europe a voice to share what football means to them. The new Respect campaign is called Equal Game. Because everyone is entitled to enjoy football, no matter who you are, where you're from, or how you play. On the pitch, we're all the same.
You're listening to Matchday Live with Chris Parrott and me, Rob Daly. Our review of Wednesday begins with quite a game in London where Spurs faced Real Madrid in Group H. Phil Blacker, watch this one.
But a touch from Sissoko in there, having just come on, and Winks again. Trippier is in behind. Trippier delivers the cross. Dele Alli gets the touch to it. And Tottenham lead at Wembley. They've made this pressure pay. And Dele Alli back in the team, featuring in the UEFA Champions League for the first time this season. Features on the score sheet at Wembley Stadium. There's Dele Alli. Shapes to shoot, creates a little bit of space. Dele Alli's shot is deflected. And Tottenham are two up. Tottenham lead the European champions by 2-0 at Wembley, and it's Dele Alli at the double. Dele Alli does well to ride the challenge of Ramos, and Harry Kane with space to run into if he can get there first ahead of Nacho. He does, he finds Christian Eriksen, who's in on goal, and makes it 3-0. 3-0 Tottenham against Real Madrid. It's a cool, composed finish from Christian Eriksen, and Spurs are making memories that will last a lifetime. The night they took apart the European champions. Tottenham 3, Real Madrid 0. Modric trying to get a touch, it does fall to the feet of Ronaldo, and Real Madrid do have one goal back with 10 minutes to go at Wembley. Surely too little too late, you would have thought.
Real Madrid did rally, but there was no way back. Chris and Phil alongside me. Now, Phil, what impressed you most about the way that Tottenham took apart the European champions at Wembley?
I think it was the collective team performance, the desire, the intensity that they maintained throughout. The belief in the team was particularly impressive as well, that they could go and do that to Real Madrid. And they were convinced that they belonged on this stage. They proved it with that performance. There was a real energy throughout the side. They scored at important times. The return of Dele Alli for the first time in this competition gave them an extra threat, I think, from midfield, making those runs that he's so adept at doing. They were determined to prove they weren't just about Harry Kane. There was real relief before the game when he was available, when he was named on the team sheet. He played a big part, and I think his presence lifted everybody else as well. But the others stepped up, Dele Alli taking the headlines with the two goals, Christian Eriksen getting on the score sheet as well. Tactically, I think they were spot on. Real Madrid did have a fair bit of the ball. They were asking questions. Of course, they were always going to ask questions, but generally Tottenham had the answers. They had the belief, they had the fitness. They had everything required to send out a statement to the rest of Europe that they're in this competition not just for the odd big night like this one in the group stages, but with genuine designs of challenging to lift the trophy.
Well, let's hear from Dele Alli back from suspension, and he scored two goals tonight.
You know, we spoke after the game at their place and we said, you know, we couldn't believe how much space we had at times. And, you know, sometimes we're saying it was the easy pass was almost looked too obvious at times. So we was being a little bit sloppy. And, yeah, I think we knew if we was solid at the back and we'd get the chances. And with the team we've got here, you know, we don't want to just compete with these teams. We want to be winning, and we did it tonight. So it's a great result to build on.
Yeah, quite telling there from Dele Alli, Chris, what he just said.
Yeah, the fact they monitored what had happened at the Bernabeu, and I think Phil alluded it to it in his commentary that maybe, just maybe, that draw in Madrid 2 weeks ago got them thinking, yeah, hang on, yeah, they're back-to-back holders, but now they're not unstoppable. And then they sort of took that on into Wembley, grew in confidence themselves, and they were magnificent, no more so than Dele Alli, who was also involved in the counter-attack that led to Christian Eriksen's third, which was a brilliant counter-attack. Real Madrid would have been proud of that. And, you know, Alli, Mauricio Pochettino had come out on Tuesday and said, hey, he's not at his best. Maybe his UEFA Champions League suspension has been affecting his form, but I'm looking forward to having him back. And he was magnificent. And Tottenham as a team, well, they'll take so much from this and so much for the Wembley hoodoo, hey?
Absolutely. That's long since buried now, isn't it? They sensed their chance, though. You were right, I think, after that first meeting. And since then, Real Madrid had lost surprisingly against Girona at the weekend. And some interesting quotes after the game from Zinedine Zidane, who, you know, didn't try and disguise what had gone on. He actually was quoted as saying, we played against a better side. Tottenham were better. We have to accept that. We didn't play badly. We had chances to level. But what's been happening to us recently is that we're not able to score, and that's it. And that from the coach of the holders, the side expected by many, tipped by many to go on and win this for a third year running, admitting that, you know, that they're simply not scoring goals at the moment, and that Tottenham were the better team. And it's hard to argue against that, having watched the game.
Real test for Zinedine Zidane as a coach now for Real Madrid. The good news for him from tonight is that Borussia Dortmund drew 1-1 with Apoel, despite the fact they went in front through Rafa Guerrero on his first start of the season. With that goal, Pote equalised. He actually scored when the sides met in Cyprus previously. And it's interesting here, Phil, because this has given Real Madrid a massive cushion, these two draws, to secure their place along with Spurs.
It has. The implications tonight for Real Madrid will be that they should still go through. They will probably now go through in second place in the group, as they did last year, which didn't harm them, of course, yeah, as they went on to take the title. But that position is quite a fortunate one, because I'm sure that they wouldn't have expected Dortmund and Apoel to draw both of these games in the successive match days to ensure that that cushion is still intact with two games to go, because of those stalemates. Apoel have done them a real favour in that respect. So it shouldn't be a crisis for Real Madrid. Point that Zidane again has made after the game. He said he's not worried. He's never going to be worried, but he might have been a little more worried if Dortmund had got the results that we probably expected they would do.
Yeah, and from Dortmund's point of view, Rob, worst performance ever after four group matches in the UEFA Champions League to have not won a game. Credit to Apoel. Aubameyang hit the bar and had a very late header, which he might have scored, and that would have turned, you know, 1 point into three. But Apoel, all of a sudden now, you know, that they're tied with Dortmund on 2 points at the bottom of the section, that they'll be thinking, well, maybe we can pick Dortmund to third place. And given they're in a group with Borussia Dortmund, Real Madrid and Tottenham Hotspur, that would be quite an achievement.
Well, Dortmund host Spurs next. Real Madrid go to Apoel. A win there for Real Madrid, no matter what, would guarantee them a place in the next round on Tuesday, the 21st of November. Our second feature match on Wednesday came from Group F. Napoli facing Manchester City in a tight match. An incredible performance from Manchester City to get the result in the end. Elsewhere in that group, Shakhtar Donetsk with a 3-1 victory over Feyenoord. It's a result that really does salvage Shakhtar's campaign. They're now on 9 points as well, 6 above Napoli in the standings. Very impressive indeed from the Ukrainian club. And really, it looks like they would probably likely join City through in the next round.
Yeah, you know, so much of the talk was about how this can have a goal glut in Naples between Manchester City and Napoli. Well, Shakhtar have been playing some outstanding football so far this season under Paulo Fonseca, and, you know, fell behind to Jorgensen but came flying back. Marlos with a couple of goals, he hit the bar as well. They really look like a very strong team playing in Kharkiv this season. And, you know, Shakhtar, they were very impressive actually against Manchester City, if you remember, away from home.
Yeah, they were, yeah.
You know, they're perhaps dark horses with a few other teams that we'll talk about. But from their point of view now, 9 points from four games, they are not too far away. And Napoli, you know, leaders of Serie A, are facing an early elimination in the UEFA Champions League.
One of the newspapers in Ukraine, I saw this before the game, it says Shakhtar did not pay 40 million for Bernard and Fred to compete for third place in the group. It's a very good point indeed. So a win for Shakhtar against Feyenoord in the other game in the group. That took place in Naples, and here's what happened.
And they might score themselves. Insigne! He has! Wonderful move and a sweeping finish into the corner by Lorenzo Insigne. It's exactly what they wanted. And it's been flicked in by Manchester City and Otamendi. Leroy Sane will take it from the left-hand side. Left-footed, out-swinging ball. Stones is there! Now did that bounce down and go over the line? Manchester City say yes. And the referees and officials say yes. Can Jorginho get Napoli back into it? Against Edison. Jorginho slots it into the corner. Hesai gets there, but this is Aguero. Is this the moment for Aguero? It is! Sergio Aguero becomes Manchester City's leading goal scorer of all time. It's De Bruyne with options right and left. He goes right. This is Sterling! It's four. And Manchester City are heading through to the round of 16 in the UEFA Champions League.
Heading through and through. Impressive from City. Four wins from four. So far, 12 goals as well on their way to topping Group F. Let's hear it from their manager now, Pep Guardiola.
Napoli, the first 20 minutes show us how they are. So we are not well organized, we don't have character, you don't have to try to keep the ball, to take the ball as much as possible and let them run, and they destroy you. So the first 20 minutes was what I expect when we were not ready, but we reacted really well. So the most important thing about that game is how we overcame that situation when the opponent was better. Even before the 1-1, we were able to make 10-50 passes in a row. And second half, again, with a 2-2, we react again. We overcame the situation really, really well. So I'm so proud. I want to fight. I want to fight with that players until the end.
He said before kickoff that they would suffer like never before, and at times they did suffer. Pep Guardiola's team. Jonathan Beck, our commentator for this one, joins us now. Jonathan, it seems even when they concede two, like they did against West Brom at the weekend and like they did tonight, they'll get the 3 points. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, they'll find a way, won't they, with the attacking talent they have in their side. Then it's not a surprise. And I think many people have been surprised by just how big Leroy Sané's impact has been this season. There's plenty of bigger names with bigger fees at Manchester City, but his performances so far and tonight again, certainly leading the charge for that breakaway goal which led to Sergio Aguero's record-breaking goal. It was just the stunning, the amount of composure and energy he has, even at that young age.
Let's talk about Aguero then. I mean, a Manchester City legend ever since he's, well before he scored that title-winning goal, of course, a few years ago. But now the greatest ever Manchester City goal scorer. What a night for him.
Indeed. He's been waiting, hasn't he, to pass Eric Brooks 177, and he's done it tonight. He got a penalty in a shootout against Wolves. That didn't count because it was in a shootout. He's had goals this season. This is the one he's going to remember. I think he's going to take his shirt home and give it to his son as well. It was some night for Sergio Aguero, who got a standing ovation from the travelling support when he came off later on. Not much more to say about him, but what a performance. And the number, you look at his record, I've just been reading, the minute in a match that he scored the most goals is the 90th. More in that minute than any other of those 178. So that shows he keeps on going right till the end as well.
Okay, let's hear from the record breaker and history maker, Sergio Aguero.
I'm happy because the team helped support to me and the Fan City and all the staff. Just say thank you very much for everyone, no? Napoli is a good team, so away always in Champions League is difficult, so I'm very happy because to win it and qualify the final, no?
Sergio Aguero there, Manchester City's all-time record goal scorer. City through. Liverpool not quite there in Group E. They have beaten Maribor by 3-0. Mo Salah, Emre Can, and of course Daniel Sturridge right to the end with the goals there. James Milner had a penalty save. 10 goals in 2 games for Liverpool. Maribor made it difficult, but for Jurgen Klopp this will be a relief, especially the last few days with these 2 wins and 2 clean sheets after a lot of criticism.
Yeah, I don't think anyone has questioned Liverpool going forward, but it has been at the back, and yeah, Jurgen Klopp will be delighted with that little bit of solidity. They were without some big players as well. No Philip Coutinho, you know, Sadio Mane is you know, a long-term casualty, if you like. I think the one thing will be penalty practice, though. I mean, they've
a concern, isn't it? I mean, yeah. A few of them have missed now. Salah, Firmino and now Milner this season.
You know, it was an excellent save, but Milner is normally so reliable. And at some stage, missing penalties does come back to haunt teams. So that is probably the only gripe that he'll have. But yeah, I mean, look, Liverpool are, you know, way out ahead in their section and they can feel pretty comfortable.
When Ryan Brewster's back from the under-17s, he can just take them. I think that's probably the best solution. Sevilla, meanwhile, with a 2-1 win against Spartak. Tell us about this one, Chris.
Yeah, big win, having been thumped in Moscow, you know, 2 weeks ago.
5-1, they lost that game.
5-1, yeah. Spartak's biggest ever UEFA Champions League win. Towering header from Clément Lenglet gave them the lead. And then, arguably, probably the goal of the week, Ever Banega, with a wonderful curling effort from the edge of the penalty area, put them 2 up. Spartak never gave up. Zé Luis got one back, made things pretty nervy in Spain, but Sevilla held on. Big win, so they jump above Spartak and into second position. But that battle behind Liverpool, who aren't quite there yet themselves, but that battle between Spartak and Sevilla is going to be fascinating to watch. It was a huge win for the Spanish team.
Well, Liverpool will be under pressure, because looking at the group, Liverpool 8 points, Sevilla 7, Spartak 5. If Sevilla beat Liverpool next and Spartak win, Spartak go level on points with Liverpool, and we'll see Sevilla go above the Reds in the standings. And even though Liverpool host Spartak in their final group game, we remember Basel 3 years ago, how things just got too nervy and it overwhelmed them and they didn't qualify. Not quite there, but close, Liverpool. They do go to Sevilla next on Tuesday, the 21st of November, and they're top of Group E. In Group G, it finished 1-1 between Besiktas and Monaco in the early kickoff. Porto 3, Leipzig 1. Great win for Porto. Late goal from Maxi Pereira there to get revenge against Leipzig. Besiktas not quite through yet mathematically, Chris, but nearly.
Yeah, very nearly. They have a 6-point cushion. They would have been through with a win. They fell behind to Monaco, Marcos Lopez on half-time, but then Cenk Tosun, who else, with a penalty 9 minutes into the second half. So Besiktas on the cusp of their first ever place in the last 16 of the UEFA Champions League. And yeah, they fully deserve to be top of the section, still unbeaten.
OK, let's get some man of the matches. First from Spurs, Real Madrid, Phil Blacker.
So many outstanding Spurs performances, but for the double, it has to be Dele Alli, the man that takes the headlines.
Of course. Okay, and Jonathan Begg, Manchester City's win at Napoli. Who's your outstanding performer?
It's a toss-up between John Stones at the back and Leroy Sané going forward. Despite Sergio Aguero's record, I think it has to be Leroy Sané for me.
Chris, quick one, man of the match from all the other games.
Ever Banega, his finish against Sevilla was a difference. It was a glorious strike, and had it not been for him, Sevilla wouldn't be in one of the qualification spots.
Very good indeed. That's all we have time for. Thanks, Chris, on Match Day Live after an unforgettable Match Day 4 on Tuesday. Bayern won at Celtic to join Paris Saint-Germain in the last 16 from Group B. While in Italy, Roma seized advantage of Group C with that win over Chelsea, a great win. Then on Wednesday, Tottenham tore Real Madrid apart at Wembley with a Delhi double to state their claim on this season's competition. And Sergio Aguero made history as Manchester City came from behind in Naples to safely make it through to the knockout stages. We're next with you on Tuesday the 21st and Wednesday the 22nd of November, live on UEFA.com and on the app. We have commentary of Juventus against Barcelona from Turin. But for now, from Chris Parrott, Phil Blacker, Jonathan Begg, and myself, Rob Daly, it's goodbye.
And winks again. Trippier is in behind. Trippier delivers the cross. Dele Alli gets the touch to it. And Tottenham lead at Wembley. They've made this pressure pay.
This side gets there, but this is Aguero. Is this the moment for Aguero? It is! Sergio Aguero becomes Manchester City's leading goal scorer of all time.
And Harry Kane with space to run into if he can get there first ahead of Nacho. He does, he finds Christian Eriksen, who's in on goal and makes it 3-0. And
And Spurs are making memories that will last a lifetime. The night they took apart the European champions. Tottenham 3, Real Madrid 0.
With options right and left, he goes right. This is Sterling! It's 4. And Manchester City are heading through to the round of 16 in the UEFA Champions League.
You've been listening to UEFA Champions League Matchday Live.